presented by the Financial Services Forum.
Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook Editor Mike DeBonis. It's Wednesday, May 22nd. Here's what's driving the day. The Trump trial is on hiatus. Okay, it's weird to say something that isn't happening is driving the day, but that's just how dominant this story has been the past few weeks. Donald Trump's defense team rested their case yesterday, notably without Trump himself testifying. But because Judge Juan Merchand has delayed closing arguments until next Tuesday, we're probably at least a week away from a verdict, though there's still the sensitive matter of writing the jury instructions to deal with in the meantime, as well as some other odds and ends. We're still pouring through last night's election results this morning, including some high-profile races on the West Coast, where mail ballots will continue trickling in over the coming days. We do know that every congressional incumbent on the ballot appears to have survived, as did two key figures in the Fulton County, Georgia case against Trump, DA Fonnie Willis and Judge Scott McAfee. Also, Brian Jack, a former House GOP and Trump political aide, appears to be well on his way to succeeding retiring Representative Drew Ferguson in Georgia's 3rd Congressional District. And again, speaking of Trump, his campaign yesterday removed a video that included on-screen text referring to a, quote, unified Reich, language that once again raised associations with Nazi Germany and raised questions about what exactly is going on with the Trump campaign, which blamed the incident on a junior staffer. That didn't stop President Joe Biden from raising the issue at a pair of Boston fundraisers last night. He said, quote, that's not the language of American presidents. That's not the language of any Americans. It's the language of Hitler's Germany, unquote. Speaking of Biden, he is back in Washington this morning and is kicking off 2 days of meetings with Kenyan President William Ruto, culminating in a state dinner tomorrow night. It's, to steal a phrase, a big effing deal. And with me to discuss it is Playbook co-author Eugene Daniels. Good morning, Eugene.
Hello. It's very weird to be on this side of it. It's actually scary. It's terrifying.
We can switch. You want to switch?
Yes, let's switch.
Too bad. Too late. tell me what is on tap for this major diplomatic visit.
So the president of Kenya will be in D.C. around 4 o'clock. That's when the president is slated to kind of welcome him. The entourage has actually been in the United States all week in Atlanta. There's the kind of normal pomp and circumstance that you would see with any state visit. What's interesting is this is the first African nation to have a state visit since 2008.
Wow.
Since under Bush.
That is a long time. I'm actually shocked to hear that.
Right? That is a very long time. And so even under Biden, the people who've gotten them are typically like the big countries. It's the G20. It's the allies who we want to make sure the world knows not to mess with, that we have their back, that we, there's a lot of back and forth, of trade and all of these things. So it raises Kenya up, into that. On Thursday, we're expecting the president and some of the events that they have to talk with the Kenyan president, both publicly and privately, about debt relief, largely. Kenya has extreme debt. A lot of that is kind of big creditor countries like China. So the United States is going to tell them to offer them some relief and also urge international institutions, financial institutions, to offer low-cost financing to Kenya.
Well, so that's what Kenya wants out of this trip. What's the U.S. need to get out of this? I mean, why is Kenya being favored with this major visit? I mean, he's getting a bilateral meeting, press conference, state dinner. He's going to go up to Capitol Hill, meet the Speaker of the House and the leaders. Like, he's getting basically everything but the joint address, which
the works. He's getting, you know, the works, right?
He's getting the works.
He's getting the works.
Why is he getting the works?
I mean, Kenya was chosen for a couple of reasons. One, the administration continues to remind us it is 50 years of Kenyan independence and them having and creating their own relationship with the United States. They also always talk about how Kenya has been a good partner for the United States on the continent. You know, the president wants to be a player on the world stage. And so he's been helpful when it comes to Ukraine and helping give relief to Haiti. But also they talk about democracy and how Kenya has really embraced, in their eyes, the small d democracy. And you can hear President Ruto talking about it in speeches, but also the underlying question and answer to any relationship for this administration is, underneath all of that, is China. And countering China. And so much of this is about showing that, and they will start stuttering if you ask this question, the administration. But you know, we are trying to say as a country to African nations, hey, go with us, come with us, be a democracy. We know that China has been giving you a lot more investment. They've been doing a lot more infrastructure, but America is here to help.
And Kenya remains a friend on the continent at a moment when the U.S. has fewer friends on the continent than they've had recently. Niger is going to kick troops, U.S. troops, out of their territory soon. Chad did that earlier this year. South Africa is not happy with our stance on Israel, and things are pretty tense there. Kenya seems to be our last good buddy who's willing to help out on all this stuff. But there is this other thing, this sort of unkept promise that is sort of hanging over all of this. Fill us in on that and whether that's going to be something that's going to come up the next couple of days.
Yeah. So President Biden, he had an Africa Leaders Summit, and he brought all these African leaders to the United States and met with them over days. He met with them. The vice president did some things. The first lady, you know, did some stuff. But at the end of the day, it was about saying, hey, we are here. America has not been a good partner to the continent of Africa, but we, the Biden administration, are going to be a better partner, right? The way that he made that clear and to show how dedicated the administration was by saying, we're going to send a lot of people to the nations on the continent. We're going to send a lot of people. We're going to send the vice president. She went. We're going to send the first lady. We're going to send the ambassador to the UN, the secretary of defense. We're going to send the secretary of commerce. We're going to send the secretary of treasury. They've sent 24 high level administrative folks and U.S. leaders to the continent to make that example.
Somebody is conspicuously missing.
you got that right. The biggest promise, and he didn't have to make this promise, was that he was going to go, that President Biden himself was going to go within that year span. He has not done that. And when you talk to people who are experts on Africa, who talk to a lot of these nations, basically, there is bad blood because of that, right? The way one person put it to me was, President Biden did not have to make this promise. He went out of his way to make this promise. And it is a reminder to the African nations of how the United States breaks promises. And they said it's not going to ruin everything, right? Like, people will get over it. And that's probably true. And the administration better hope so, because their focus has been on symbolism versus substance, right? That the administration has been showing up as a partner in the last year and some change, that they've done work with African nations closely without the symbolism of President Biden going there. But symbolism and diplomacy really, really matters, especially when you're trying to say to nations, we don't want to be paternalistic. We want to lean on you as partners as much as you have needed to lean on us.
Thank you, Eugene Daniels.
Thank you, sir.
And for your schedule today, the House and the Senate are in. Notably, the Senate is set to confirm Biden's 200th federal judge later this morning. That's Angela Martinez, nominated to a district judgeship in Arizona. And this afternoon, as mentioned, President Biden hosts President William Ruto of Kenya at the White House. And later, Presidents Biden and Ruto will participate in an engagement with CEOs and other business leaders. And join Politico Live at Union Station or virtually today at 8:30 a.m. for a look ahead at how the elections could shape policies like the corporate tax structure and the child tax credit. With Trump-era tax breaks set to expire in 2025, whoever wins control of Congress and the White House will have the ability to revamp the tax code and, with it, reshape the landscape for business and social policy. Find a link to register at politico.com. I'm Mike DeBonis. Thanks for listening.
Basel III Endgame will make it harder for consumers to buy a house or a car. It'll hurt the small businesses that rely on loans to grow, and it will reduce savings for people with money in pension funds. Regulators proposed capital requirements would take a toll on families, seniors, farmers, and small businesses. Washington, scrap Basel III Endgame and start over.